Hi everyone, my name is Amandine Flax and welcome to a new episode of Entrepreneurs Playing Games podcast edition. About every 2 weeks, I host a live video stream where I deep dive into startup founders' journey after playing video games with my guest. Here is the audio version of our discussion. If you are interested in the full video, be sure to check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AmandineFlax and also follow the channel while you are there. And for any questions, suggestions, or just to say hi, you can find me on Twitter at AmandineFlax or at EntrepreneursPG. In this week's episode, I am joined by Alma and Patricia, the co-founders of Vibeo. What about we start with talking about what Vibeo is, what you're working on, and just give us a pitch.
We are a sex-toy company. We're working on an app-controlled vibrator for women. And the whole idea behind the company is that we want people to explore their sexuality and be more open about what they want to try. So yeah, that was what inspired us, mainly.
Yeah, we're about to go live. Launching a Kickstarter campaign in February next year, which will be for our first product, which is a wearable that we've designed for the past year. So we're pretty excited about that.
Fantastic. Well, I'll keep an eye on that then, and I'll for sure ask some questions about this. Also, I saw on your website, which is vibeo.co.uk, right?
Yeah.
No .com. I tried, don't try, you won't find anything, so .co.uk. And you mentioned on it that you are creating a product that works for everyone. And that made me think, does this mean that some products, some other sex toys for women, doesn't work with everyone? What's different with yours?
So everyone is a bit too broad because we actually designed it to fit the female genitalia. So it wouldn't really work if you have a penis, if that makes sense. But what we meant is that we've tested it with a lot of different women ranging from 18 to 65 years old. And basically we've made sure that the majority of them at least it feels like it's adapted to their body.
Yeah, one of the reasons that we decided to do a wearable vibrator is just because we love the idea of being able to play in a different setting that you would normally. And we had tried a few others and we weren't quite happy with the fit and, you know, how comfortable they were. So we decided to, you know, take it on our own hands and do something a bit more comfortable.
Okay, and that's funny because you all had, you both of you had different experience before. You haven't all worked all your life in this space. I want to ask this later on, but I'd like to also right now better understand how this started, how all this started. Did you actually went through bad stories with some sex toys, thinking, well, maybe we need to do something about it, or was it something else?
I don't know if bad stories with sex toys, I would say the opposite.
Good stories, yeah.
Yeah, we've liked them for quite some years. I got my first sex toy when I was 16. So I explored quite a bit. And then basically I think it was a bit triggered by the fact that we moved to the UK. And no offense, but people here tend to feel a bit uncomfortable when you talk about sex. So our whole mission as a company is to create a sex toy that focuses on the social aspect of the experience. So that's why all of our toys will be app controlled and we basically allow partner control. We have a chat. So yeah, we want to make it like a shareable experience, whereas historically masturbation or self-pleasure has been quite individual and private.
Yeah, and in the end, we all do it we think that one of the biggest problems in couples or, you know, just sexual relationships is the lack of communication. Just because we often feel a bit, you know, shy or a bit awkward about the subject. We never know if, you know, if it's okay to feel what we feel or to like what we like. So we just wanted to make a toy that would also enable people to have conversations and just be a bit more comfortable with their sexuality.
Why we're doing the company? So we want people to start connecting that sex is part of their health and how they feel. So it's not just pure pleasure or it's not about the act of having sex. It's more about how you understand your relationship with your own sexuality. So we don't feel that our company just only makes sex toys. We feel there's a lot of educational work
mm-hmm.
to be done, and yes. that we can do with content, either in social media or in our blog. We're working on some educational videos as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot to be done.
What is your sweet spot in terms of the target audience?
We think it will be around the 30s.
Okay.
And we wanted to test all ages because, well, it was also like a bit of research to see mm-hmm. if people reacted differently.
Yeah.
Depending on what stage of their life they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, actually. So
okay.
it was good to find that. But yeah, since we have like an app, we feel that most sex toy companies target at 40, 45 and above.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Target. Okay.
They're the most active sex toy users.
Mm-hmm.
But we believe that that will change. And we're starting to shift a little bit our notion of sex toys
mm-hmm.
and starting to explore with them earlier and earlier.
And we think it's a bit of a shame that younger people don't use sex toys as much, or maybe they don't give them a try. So yeah, we just want to bring that to the younger consumers.
Yeah.
We hear stories of women that don't have an orgasm until their late 20s or even their mid 20s. So this is something that we think that with sex toys and with having more open conversations about sexuality and masturbation, especially for women,
mm-hmm.
We can make a good impact.
That's interesting you mentioned, especially for women. Do you think that talking about masturbation for men is more acceptable than for women?
At some level, yes. I think it's a given that men masturbate, and you hear that, well, at least we hear that since we were 12 or 13. Women masturbating was a bit more, but at the same time, there is also a big stigma with men using sex toys. So there's a bit of a weird dynamic going on, and we think that, you know, There's more taboos to break besides female masturbation.
So you created the company about a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been up to since then?
We first started thinking about what product we wanted to make. We were pretty clear that we wanted to do a sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many different types of sex toys, right?
Yes.
So as I mentioned before, it was sort of inspired by the fact that we wanted to bring people a different experience, something
mm-hmm.
a bit of a different sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought of a wearable, and the biggest problem with the wearables out there is that they're not really designed anatomically. So that's what we set ourselves to do. So the first months of the company was just thinking of designs and 3D printing different versions.
Okay.
And then doing slight alterations, just me and her testing them at home.
Yeah.
With
3D printed models?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so only testing the, you know, the shape of it, the comfort.
And with condoms, because
yeah,
obviously
yeah.
that's not a body
well.
Safe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. not a body safe material.
Of course. And then, yeah, we took it from there. We were more or less happy with the shape, so we brought a bunch of women and we had them tested.
Okay.
We settled on a version, and yeah, then we started from there, getting our prototypes made
mm-hmm.
that we tested that with. Even more people, and now we're working on the second version. So it's been a fast product development.
Yeah.
But also we've kept it really, really affordable, really bootstrapped.
So that's actually one of my next questions, because when we think about creating a hardware product, lots of people think about the fact that you need a lot of investment to get started,
mm-hmm.
work already with manufacturers, but you just showed that actually you don't need to, you just need to
yeah.
be lean about it and
yeah.
try just experimenting to get a first product, right?
Yeah, and you don't really have to be an engineer or an expert, a product designer. You just have to apply a bit of common sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how we did it.
In the end, you're creating a product for a consumer, right?
Yes.
So if you're a consumer yourself, then it's all about speaking to people and finding out what they are looking for
mm-hmm.
in a toy and crafting a design around it.
Yeah.
And then what we did is pull in a lot of favors from our friends.
Yeah.
So obviously we're not tech people. So in the very beginning, when we didn't have a team and we weren't working with anyone, we started asking one of my ex-flatmates, actually, that's an
yeah.
architect,
okay.
to help us translate our drawings in paper to 3D files,
yes.
so that we
yeah.
could start in 3D printing as well.
Who do you make sure that you have really detailed feedback on who it feels, who it could be improved, mm-hmm. because that's such yeah. personal information.
Yeah. All of our surveys are anonymized.
Okay.
So we basically give our testers time to test out the product, and then they fill in an online survey, but we can never trace it back to who actually gave the responses.
Yeah. Okay.
So that gives them a little bit of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they would feel more comfortable sharing their true opinions that way.
Yeah.
Do you, in this kind of surveys, do you also have to push people to ask specific questions on specificities, or do you let people express themselves
Yeah, so it's a bit of both, because okay. of course there are certain things that we're looking for. So for example, is the length of the vibrator the correct one? Mm-hmm. Is the width comfortable for you? How's the vibration levels? Would you like a bit more vibrations,
okay.
a bit more rumbly, a bit more bossy? And most people don't think of talking in those terms when mm-hmm. they're reviewing a vibrator.
Yeah.
But we also leave them room to be, you know, creative. So we have a question that's like, okay, besides the ways that we ask you to test the toy,
mm-hmm.
have you tried it in any other way that maybe we didn't think about? Mm-hmm. And we got some surprising answers. People that maybe tried them as a bullet vibrator, or maybe tried it as an anal vibrator.
Okay.
So, you know, there's different types of questions for
mm-hmm.
everybody.
Is there mm-hmm. any specific things to know about the material you're using, and any regulation also that comes mm-hmm. to play, even just to give it to test to people? Do you need to mm-hmm. Comply to some specific regulations?
Unfortunately, the industry is not regulated.
Okay.
But this is something we really yeah. care about. So obviously all of our materials are body safe, and that's mm-hmm. the first thing that you need to make sure
yeah.
when you buy a sex toy. Normally the companies that use body safe materials, they will say it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explicitly. Okay. And if they don't, then it, in my opinion, it should be a red flag.
Yeah.
But yeah, rather than that, so basically the sex toy, it's in the outer of the toy, it's silicone,
mm-hmm.
and then it has a plastic casing inside, and that's where you fit all of the internal components. So then we have a motor, we're gonna actually have two motors.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then we'll have like the Bluetooth chip as well, that it's what enables the connection to our remote control
mm-hmm.
and to the app.
Mm-hmm.
Battery, and that's about it, right? And the PCB.
Yeah, that's about it. So it's a very simple
mm-hmm.
In terms of internal components. But we really wanted to test it with a lot of women. This is not something that's often done in the industry.
Yeah.
Most sex toys are not tested.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so we want to kind of bring some like a different perspective to the industry, and sort of be more serious about what we're doing. Because in the end, there are so many toys out there that don't really do the job, or that are badly designed, or that they're even toxic in terms of materials.
Yeah, exactly what Chief Tattoo Officer is saying. He mentioned that some toys can cause chemical burns and
rashes. We've seen that because if the material deteriorates
mm-hmm.
over time, or maybe with warm weather, or because of the use, then we've had that. Well, we haven't experienced it, mm-hmm. but we know people that have allergic reactions to them.
But in the end, the main problem with the industry is that it's so taboo
mm-hmm.
that most regulators don't really want to get involved, or, you know, they just don't consider it a priority.
Yeah.
It's not only limitations in terms of regulations,
mm-hmm.
In terms of financial services, we also have lots of restrictions. Not all of the banks allow us to have a bank account, for example.
Oh, really?
Just because they have restrictions, or payment providers like
mm-hmm.
Stripe, they won't allow us to do business with them.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a bigger issue that's very related to how society thinks of sex and sex toys in general.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're trying to change that. And even social media, Facebook, Instagram won't let us advertise.
They even keep, YouTube as well. They close down the accounts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We actually had that with Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
We started growing our Instagram account last year when we incorporated the company.
Yeah.
And around March this year, from one day to another, it got completely shut down.
No warning. Nothing.
No warning.
No.
We didn't have any explicit content. No nudity, nothing like that.
Yeah.
But
And it's getting even worse. They came up with new community guidelines. And now even if you have like a string of emojis and you have like the peach emoji, the aubergine, and you know, the splash, that could be enough to get blocked on Instagram because it's still like sexual content.
Or the hashtags that you
or
use.
Or the hashtags.
But next to this, you have still people almost naked. But that's okay because they're models.
Exactly.
Because they're not talking about sex.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see the comparison. The pictures are same in terms of how explicit they are or even less explicit. But just because you're talking about sex or sexuality or whatever it is, it's already a red flag. So, you know.
Did it also put you off some grants and programs? Because you mentioned that you've been bootstrapping the company. So I don't know if you already got any external investment, but just in terms of getting into some programs or getting access to grants, have you also seen lots of restrictions?
Yes, we do have restrictions, and some funds, for example, would never consider investing on us just because we're related to the sex industry. But on the other hand, we did raise a little bit of investment recently.
Okay.
So that's good. But I think our focus has been to just get to market as soon as possible because you're in a more comfortable position to then talk about having more money or I think people just take it more seriously as well.
And in terms of the crowdfunding platform, you're going to be live in February, you said.
Yes.
So was it also a struggle to get on the platform or are they still quite open there?
Thankfully, that changed a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So we're going to be live in Kickstarter.
Okay.
And I think it was up until 5-6 years ago, there were no sex toy or sexual product in the platform.
And then in terms of monetization, once the product will be out, so I guess after the crowdfunding and once you're ready, what would be your way to distribute the product? Are you looking at a sex shop, the traditional way to find sex toys? Or is it a bit old school and because you're a tech startup, before anything else, do you want to go away from this?
In the beginning, we will stay online.
Okay.
We think that having sex toys in shops may be good just to because people go to shops to find out what's out there. But the reality is that most people buy right now sex toys online.
Yeah.
And then it's also a way for us to control who has our toys and protect a little bit our brand image. So it will be more of an online sales.
What's your next big milestone for the coming year ahead?
Well, definitely getting our product shipped.
Yeah.
And manufactured. But we are we're starting to work on future products as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we do have a product roadmap. I don't really want to get into that a lot.
Okay.
Not to overpromise and underdeliver, basically.
Yeah. Sure. But there will be other product potentially later on.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the biggest milestone is actually launching.
Okay.
We're focused on that. Yeah, we're also aware that the worst is yet to come because right now it's been product development and fundraising. And that is, it comes with its own complications.
Yes.
But actually dealing with manufacturing, making sure the product is ready and right, the app development side of things. Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Well, there is always something, right?
Yeah.
There's always a next step.
Yeah.
So that's part of the fun, I guess.
It's exciting.
Absolutely.
I was about to say.
Absolutely.
Now talking more about you and your own personal career, what did you do before launching your startup?
Well, I love the startup world. And ever since I was in university, I just started working for startups because I knew that at some point I would create my own company. So I was just trying to learn how to drive business growth in the early stages. So I worked for the food delivery company, in the operations sector, and then focused a bit more on sales for other companies.
We both studied business economics, so we have more of a business background, but I also started working in tech after I graduated. I worked for Accenture as a tech consultant, well, analyst. I didn't quite like the corporate world. Also working in tech in Spain, there was a bit of it wasn't the most comfortable environment for a young woman, let's say.
Okay.
So I I knew that I didn't want to keep working in that sort of environment. I wanted to do something by myself. And Alma and I have been friends for 20 years. We know each other since we were little kids.
Oh, amazing.
So, you know, it wasn't that much of a stretch to say, yeah, I quit my job and going to London.
Okay.
Let's start this.
And who did your colleagues or people around you took that when you just said, well, fuck it, I leave the corporate world, I leave the tech space, and I'm just going to create my own sex toys company?
I remember, so when I said that, everybody was looking at me like, you're crazy. I don't know if that's going to work. Well, they didn't say it, but they were probably like, that's weird. But yeah, I mean, I think they also thought it was really, really cool and really interesting.
I think no one was surprised around me.
Okay.
If you get to know me a little bit, you understand why. But they were like, oh yeah, actually, I see you doing that. And well, yeah, I guess that it's different. So
yeah.
If you're in the corporate world, people expect that you will remain in the corporate world and like pave your way through to the top. But in startups, people understand the entrepreneurial spirit, and everyone was super supportive. I moved specifically to London because since I knew that I was going to build a company, the chances are just way higher here than in Spain. It's a lot simpler as well. The bureaucracy in Spain is very slow and very complicated. You need more capital to start a business as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I finished university, I moved to London, and let's see how it goes. And after a year, we started Vibeo.
Yeah.
And here in London, the network is just incomparable to Spain, and you can pave your way easier, I guess. There's so much more going on in terms of support for tech startups and just startups in general. And the culture is also more supportive of entrepreneurs. So yeah, it wouldn't have been as easy. It wouldn't have been easy to start the company in Spain. Yeah.
And what was the most difficult thing about doing the switch, switching from working in tech or in a more traditional environment and switching to really be involved on the day-to-day on a sexual startup?
Much more fun, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah. I would say that one of the most difficult things is that we stopped having a salary.
Yeah,
sure.
So you need to really plan your financials, and so that creates a bit of stress as well. Thinking, well, am I going to make it to the end of the month? Should I be spending my money on this thing or in this other thing?
Yeah.
So, it's more, unstable as a position.
It comes with sacrifice for sure. But at the same time, you know, we wanted to start a company because we also like the flexibility that we have, and also everything that you do, you can see a result, and you're working towards building something, and that's so rewarding, even though it's stressful at times and it's hard and it comes with sacrifice. It's also really rewarding.
You mentioned also the whole rich the ecosystem here in London. Is there anything that you found super useful, any resources, any program or anything that really helped you along the way for now?
We were part of a pre-accelerator beginning of this year.
Okay.
And that was really good because they connect you with a lot of people. So I think that it doesn't really matter what type of business you're building. There's always like some program that you can apply to. And there are like websites like F6S.
Yes.
That's
how to pronounce it.
Yeah. where you can find like a directory of all of the programs that are open for applications right now.
Yeah.
So and then like actually this may sound obvious, but LinkedIn is a great resource. So every time that you need to find either a contact, sometimes you can just message people and people are willing to help.
Yeah.
The majority. I would say the majority will reply.
Were you the same?
There's also been a few other organizations that have been helpful for us in terms of connecting us with people. So for example, Capital Enterprise, One Tech, we've collaborated with them can recommend. And, you know, they organize events. Not only them, there are hundreds here in London that organize events that connect people. And in the end, every person you meet, you never know what can come from that interaction. And yeah, that's part of the beauty of the startup world, is that you connect with people and then things happen. And
since it's a relatively new industry and quite taboo, there are not like straightforward resources about regulation or what you can do in social media, what type of banks and all. I think like so that is in the making right now. So hopefully we can also collaborate to create better resources for future companies.
Yeah, and in the end, we've also been lucky because from early on, we've been in contact with other sex tech entrepreneurs, and they've been really helpful to us. So maybe if we weren't in London, that would have been really difficult to find that network. Luckily, we've had access to that. So yeah, it's been good, but it could be better, of course.
Red Sam's talk is making you joke about Alexa to turn up his Vibeo. So is it something that is also on the plan potentially?
Such a funny comment. That is funny, because our initial idea was to do the Alexa of vibrators.
Okay.
So yeah, that was the very, very initial idea.
Also to motivate people to speak out about what they want.
Yeah.
We thought if we actually make them speak and say what they want, then we will like trigger more conversations. But the technology, like voice control, is still in development.
Yes.
So we were wary that we wouldn't be able to provide a good user experience. So it's still in our product map. But
yeah, maybe the technology needs to be a bit more reliable, because you don't want to be, you know, masturbating and then the device saying, can you say that again? I didn't quite get that. You know, it's not what you want to hear at that moment.
Sure. And I think especially, I do have an accent. I can't use Alexa or any
assistant. Exactly, you know.
It doesn't work. Do you have any tips for anyone who would like to start a business, either in the sex tech space, but also in any industry that can be taboo? I know that there were a boom of startups coming up in the cannabis oil space that is also a bit taboo and has lots of regulation and also questions. But for anyone that wants to start something in such a tricky area that may also be out of their comfort zone or initial skills, do you have any tips for that?
Connect with other people in the industry.
Yeah.
Because they've already gone through the journey, so you're going to save yourself a lot of hassle and trying to figure out what to do and what not to do. So it's just more efficient. And as mentioned, people are normally quite helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is anyone out there wanting to start a sex tech company, connect with us and we'll help you out as much as we can. Or connect you with others.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the end, it's a very lonely journey if you don't know anybody that's doing something similar. And you can also get misguided advice from people that are well-meaning, but maybe they're used to
other industries.
So for example, if you're doing marketing stuff for a taboo subject, then maybe you need to talk to somebody that actually has experience with that. Because otherwise, you know, it's hard to navigate that. We talk about a lot. We think sexual wellness is like the next mental health revolution. Right now, people are much more comfortable talking about mental health. And it's very related to sexuality as well, just because that's such an important part of how we feel about ourselves and our self-esteem and our relationship with others, that we have to take it seriously.
We have another question here from Red Sam Stark, about if there is any plan to do a man version
yes.
of this.
Yes, we started with the female body just because we know it better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was easier to design it.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, as Patricia mentioned, there's also a lot of educational work to do regarding men using sex toys. And we don't want to exclude them at all from our business journey. So that's one of the products that we're working on.
Okay, so when you mentioned there will be something else later on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to add? Something that, you know, you find anything useful in your journey or anything that you maybe wanted me to ask you about?
I would just like to add that if anybody's interested in starting their own business, especially if it's in a taboo subject, that don't be afraid to own it. In the end, people respond very well if you have confidence in what you're saying and you're really open about it. People respond the same way, even though at first it's a bit difficult to do that step. But yeah.
I think also when you are starting as an entrepreneur, every feedback is very personal, and maybe when you're looking at an industry that is a bit taboo, people can be even more shy about it. But know that in every situation, every time you start a business anyway, it's going to be hard to start and to start talking about your idea out there.
When you do it for the first time, it's hard. And like, it's embarrassing, and you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna say sex toy in front of everyone. But when you've done it 100 times, it's just like talking about food. You just forget about the fact that you're talking about sex in public. So we have like mirror reactions, right? Yeah. If you are uncomfortable talking about sex, people get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If on the other side you're confident and you're relaxed, then people also slow down and they're chill about it.
Where can we find you online? You have the website, so vibio.co.uk, right?
You can also find us on Instagram at vibiotoys. We're quite active in our DMs, so if you have any questions, please get in touch.
It's us behind the screen.
It's us. So happy to have a chat, whatever it is.
Huge thanks to Alma and Patricia for joining me on the stream today, and thanks to all of you for listening to Entrepreneurs Playing Games podcast edition. For my part, you can find me on Twitter at AmandineFlax, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AmandineFlax for the full video version of our discussion and much more. Also, if you want to join the live stream and ask your own questions to our next guest, Entrepreneurs Playing Games is taking place every 2 weeks on Saturday mornings, so keep an eye on our social media, and I hope to see you there very soon.